Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. As I alluded to before the break, as a child or maybe now as a parent with small children, you may practice a tradition of setting out milk and cookies for jolly old St. Nick. In Charles Faint's household, they developed a new tradition, one less friendly. When Charles is not defending the country or training the next generation of warfighters, he occasionally puts pen to paper. What results is often humorous, but always insightful. Charles, welcome back to American Warrior Radio.
Hey, Ben, thanks so much for having me back on the show. I'm really excited to be here.
Let's get right to it. Lieutenant Colonel Faint, did you or did you not pull a gun on Santa Claus?
I absolutely did not. I did no such thing. But I love that story and glad we're going to talk about it, Ben. It's just it's such a fun thing to talk about and write, and I'm glad I had this experience.
You know, I don't know how many times you've been on the show, a couple of times, Charles, but I always enjoy it. And really, it seems like some of your best stories begin with your daughters ratting you out, or as you call them, Operational Security Violator 1 and Operational Security Violator 2, kind of like the Who kids, huh?
That's absolutely right. One of my little OPSEC violators has actually been on the show to talk about Call of Duty and Naked Chicks with Guns a couple months back.
Yeah, more than a couple months back. But yeah, she's a great – the Faint family is so talented. So tell us, Charles, every time you come on the show, it's almost like plausible deniability. And I have a hard time believing you actually didn't do all this stuff you're accused of, but – walk us through the story, and it usually begins with, you know, you're sitting around the dinner table, and mom asks, what did you girls do today? And then, you know, OPSEC 1 violator or OPSEC 2 violator says, well, Dad pulled a gun on Santa.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so standard disclaimer, I'm on the show today in my capacity as a private citizen, not as representative of the Army or of West Point, although this actually did happen at West Point. So during our first tour here, I guess, my oldest daughter, Emily, who's kind of the chief narc among them back in the day, she was 11 or 12. We were sitting around the dinner table talking like we normally do, and I was telling fables. You know, I just make up stories to tell the kids. And oftentimes what they would do is a situation like that, they would pick up the phone and call my mom, their grandmother, and say, hey, is it true that? And my mom gets a kick out of it because most of the time there's a little kernel of truth. It's a total fabrication, unlike this story, which actually happened. So we were sitting there, and Emily was talking to her grandmother, having a good time. And then she said, Dad pulled a gun on Santa, bye. And before I could grab the phone, you know, my mom was like, explain yourself, son. So I had to explain what really happened.
Well, tell us what really happened. And you said there is a kernel of truth in here. And frankly, in the context of where our country has been post 9/11, you know, I can't say I really fault you for pulling a – I'm sorry, for allegedly – threatening Santa Claus, but that day turned out to, I guess, maybe start like a normal day, Charles, but rapidly became not so normal. And there was one or two or three or four things that in an intelligence officer's mind clicked off, and combined, they caused you some concern.
They did. And it's kind of funny now, but it didn't seem funny at the time, Ben. So the first thing that happened was there was a threat put out against West Point on a site called 4chan, which I put in the article, is kind of where rational internet discourse goes to die. So it was a pretty specific threat, and it went out over the system we've got. And I checked it out, and I was like, oh, this is just dumb people being dumb people. So that happened, and then someone got stopped at the front gate. A woman got stopped at the front gate. She had a semi-automatic rifle in her trunk. And I wasn't really worried about that either. We're a military base. Military people have guns. We're allowed to take our guns off post to go shoot them and bring them back in. If you get stopped at the cops at the gate, they want to search you. It's like, hey, I got a gun in the back. They, you know, they check it out, make sure it's legal, make sure that you're not a criminal, and you move on. So we had those two things happen. And the third thing that happened was I heard what it sounded like explosions coming closer to our neighborhood. Again, military base explosions aren't that uncommon, but the combination of these three things made me a little nervous, so I had to take a little bit of action then.
Well, and then there were sirens, too.
Right. So it sounded like every first responder on West Point was converging on our neighborhood, which doesn't happen. And West Point's a very calm place. So at that point, I was like, okay, something's happening here. And I texted my wife saying, hey, something's going on. Don't come up here right now because, you know, if there was some type of a first responder incident, whether it's a first-person shooter or, you know, active shooter or anything down the scale from that, they don't want to be in the middle of that. Stay out of everybody's way, let it happen. But my wife and my daughters were out at Girls on the Run, so they didn't respond right away. And it got closer. The explosion started getting closer and closer. And when I started thinking about everything that happened that day, I was like, well, maybe those threats were real. So I went and got my pistol out, my Kimber 45 out of the gun safe, and was preparing for the Battle of Stony Lonesome, which thankfully just kind of never happened.
And so describe, again, folks, you got to read this article. They you can find it at A Coffee or Die online magazine, if I'm not mistaken, Charles.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, you go out there, there's other families and folks standing around. You notice none of them are armed. And you go into this wonderful description. I can see why you didn't bring your weapon out, but why did you bring your kids? You know, they're so small, we'll have to put them on a crew-served weapon.
That's right.
I mean, just all this great descriptive stuff.
It's amazing what you think of right in the moment. So I open the door to the house to see what's going on. It's like if this is going down, if someone's really attacking West Point, then, you know, if they're after my students and my family, then it's on. And I might have a pistol with a 7-round magazine, but I'm going to do something. So I open the door. I never bring the weapon outside. I never brandish. I never point it at everybody. I look outside and I see women outside with their children. And there are a lot of female vets out there, and a lot of them live on my street. And I'm like, okay, good. I mean, these female veterans have at least as much combat experience as I do. We could probably set up a good L-shaped ambush or something. But why are you bringing your kids out here? They can't IMT. They don't know individual movement techniques. They can't handle a weapon on their own. We have to put them on something cruiser, like a mortar and machine gun. But we, you know, what do we got going on? Take your kids back inside and let's go, you know, fight ISIS or 4chan or whoever's coming for us. And then, Ben, as you know, because you read the article, I found out what was really going on.
And share with us what was really going on, Charles.
So what was really going on was it was the annual Christmas parade. So Santa Claus was coming through the neighborhood. And what I thought were explosions were just the percussive blast of the firefighters' siren. So the acoustics up here in Stony Lonesome were very strange. It's got its own, like, little ecosystem. So coming around the corner is Santa Claus and every first responder on post, and the West Point cheerleaders, we call them rabble-rousers, were out there throwing candy at everybody. And that's, of course, why there was so much commotion and why the women and children were out on the street. So I sat my Kimber down on a little ledge outside and went out and got me some candy and came back in. And by that time, my wife had responded to my messages. I wanted to tell her that it was all clear, and I saw a series of text messages, and the last one was, it's just the Christmas parade, don't freak out. So then I made a mistake then. The one mistake I made that day was when my wife and kids got back, I thought it was kind of funny in retrospect, put the gun away, no issues. I made a mistake of telling my wife and children the story, and somehow that went from Dad was a little concerned about what was going on in the neighborhood to Dad pulled a gun on Santa. And that resulted in me having to have a, you know, 20-minute conversation with my mom to assure her that I most certainly did not pull a gun on Santa Claus.
Well, I think you might be a little old to get lectured by your mom, but I'm glad she's still around to do that. Now, just real quick before we take the break, because I want to talk about, you also had another article in the Havoc Journal, which is my favorite go-to online publication for all things military and veteran. HavocJournal.com, shameless plug there. But you, Charles, you 7 deployments downrange with special operations forces.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct, Ben.
And you never fired your weapon. So what on earth made you think that you could even hit Santa Claus if you tried
with a pistol?
I'm not encouraging by the way.
I think everybody was safe. And I think I mentioned that in the article too. The probably the worst thing I could do in any type of active shooter incident is to barge in there with a pistol and start waving it around, because everyone's going to be shooting at me. The bad guys are shooting at me. The cops will be shooting at me. You know, all the middle-aged men with their pistol will be shooting at me, because most active shooters, in America are middle-aged white men. Plus with 7 rounds shooting a pistol that I'm not very good with, I think I would have been much better off just either staying out of the way altogether or getting my medic pack out and running down there. You know, coming from JSOC and the special operations community, we're always going to go to the sound of the guns, but I don't need to bring my own gun with me probably. So I think next time I'll take my medic pack.
So I never served, Charles, but just a little hint here. One thing I noticed, people don't try and rob gun stores very often, and there's a reason for that, Charles. All the guys and women in there are packing themselves, so just not the smartest career move if you're a criminal. Charles, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your Havoc Journal article. folks, there's, well, I'll let you explain when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking with Charles Feint. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're chatting with Charles Feint. Charles, do you need to do the disclaimer again, Charles? Charles is active duty military, but these are just his opinions. Is that good enough for the lawyers?
Hey, Ben, glad to be back.
Charles, the first article we talked about where you allegedly, no, we've proven you did not assault Santa Claus. Everybody's happy. We can look forward to a good Christmas. But the next article you actually wrote for was published in the Havoc Journal, which is one of my favorite places to go and just read and get, you know, because as a civilian, it's really important for me to get those perspectives all the time. And folks can visit HavocJournal.com, H-A-V-O-K, Journal.com. Your article, Charles, really put a bee in my bonnet because it really struck to the heart of why we do this show. Bridging the gap of understanding between those who serve and those who don't. And you start off the article by pointing out a disturbing trend that really runs counter to our entire mission here at American Warrior Radio, and that's the fact that this poll by the Reagan Foundation, I guess it was, showed that trust in the military has declined 14% in the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's astonishing. And as someone who's in the military and is very interested in civil relations, a drop that precipitous over that short a period of time does not bode well for the future of civil relations, Ben.
Now, it wasn't just military, but they had several institutions, for lack of a better word, and were polling people's trust on that. What were some of the other, you know, Congress, who else was in that ranked
in
that poll?
So basically the security apparatus and their institutions is – the trust is going down. So law enforcement start off about 50-50, so that they drop down to 39%. Now 56% for the military, that's low for us, but it's still way higher than any other institution or organization in the United States. Congress has actually risen. They doubled their confidence, but they start off at 5%, so they're only at 10. So what's interesting to me is that confidence in Congress is going up, while at the same time, the confidence in first responders in the military is going down by quite a bit.
I have my reasons why that causes me some concern. I mean, I'd love to have confidence in all institutions be at 100%, probably.
Right.
But the trend is not – well, it's disconcerting. What do you think might be some of the reasons for that, Charles? Because I know we often talk about on this program or out in the community about the difference between – those veterans that came back from the Vietnam War versus how we treat our military today with the much more respect,
right,
and the, you know, the whole idea you can hate the war but don't hate the warrior. But what has happened recently, in your opinion, that's caused this drop?
So two things. There are many things that contribute, Ben, as you know. But the two things that are most concerning to me is, first of all, we haven't won a war in a long time. And Afghanistan has been dragging out. The president's trying to wrap that up now, but it's been over 20 years. So the Iraq did not end well for us. Syria appears to be going okay, but what does winning even look like? So it's been going on so long and so indecisively is one of the causes. But veterans aren't doing themselves any favors. So there's quite a movement in the veteran community, some aspects of it, of people saying, don't thank me for my service. And I understand where these people are coming from. I just don't agree with it. I'm not critiquing the attitude. I just don't think it's personally very useful. We've had articles about it on the Havoc Journal that talk about, hey, don't thank me for my service. But, I mean, the article that you're mentioning, I titled it the veterans who say don't thank me for my service about to get their wish. Because I think you need to accept people for where they're coming from. And someone thanking you for your service, they're not just thanking you, they're thanking everything that you represent. And that's one of the things I explain to our cadets, because when we're out and they're in uniform, people will thank them for their service. And like, sir, I haven't done anything yet. Well, it's not all for you, bro. This is the institution that you represent. So you just say something nice back. And so many veterans are telling so many people, don't thank me for my service. What I'm doing is not special. Which it is, and people are starting to believe them, and I think that's contributing to this precipitous drop, Ben.
Charles, like me, you read a lot of history, and so you know the importance and in many ways, to some extent, the uniqueness of the way our institutions are put together, and that sort of arm's length distance between our military and our government, if you will, the elected mm-hmm. officials and who controls that, has always been a very important distinction, and I believe has contributed to the strength of our nation. And so to see that now, what is your opinion? And obviously you can tell me what you think about this, but one of the things that just really made me grit my teeth is, you know, some of the instances at the Capitol now, and when I see veterans out there, with all due respect for your service, but being a knucklehead. And do you think that's part of, it's unfortunately, it's the maybe the folks that have passed on from their active duty service that are now causing some bruises for the folks that are still in, like yourself?
It could definitely be that. So veterans come from all walks of life, all over America, and they have all kinds of different experiences in the military, and they take that baggage with them, good or bad, when they leave. So we have good vets, we have bad vets. People aren't heroes, and they're not necessarily special because they served in the military. I think it's a very important, unique thing. I'm very proud of what I did. But at the end of the day, you can't ride that for the rest of your life. You got to be a good person at some point. You can't just say, I'm a vet, you got to give me free passes on everything. So I think that one of the things that I'm worried about over time is we've got the military is one of the very few genuine melting pots we have left. People have been self-segregating in all these different aspects of life in America, in who they socialize with, who they go to school with, what they study. It's possible now to go to school and study majors and hang out in social organizations only with people that look and think just like you. And those other people, the othering that happens on college campuses should not be happening. It should be a melting pot, getting all these people working together, thinking about different things, challenging each other, finding a way to work together. It's not happening in these major institutions except in the Army. And I'm worried that over time, if we see the kind of polarization inside the military that's happening outside the military, that trust in our institution will go down even more. And General McChrystal was fond of saying that our freedom of action is tied to the trust that the American people have in us. And if that goes down, we're going to get more and more restricted in what we can do and how we operate. And I think that's going to be bad for the Army and for the country. So I hope we can figure a way to get through this then.
Well, what is your answer, Charles? I mean, do you have thoughts?
First of all, I've thought about this quite a bit, and I've written about it on the Havoc Journal, both under my real name and under a pseudo. I think the first thing is that veterans need to abandon this dysfunctional veteran mindset in which, I refuse to assimilate. I'm not going back into society. Stay away from me. I might explode. First of all, we need to get rid of that in its entirety. We're all functional, highly functional vets. Let's get through this together. I think we need to do more outreach to the communities that we came from and that all of us are going to return to unless we die in the service. My own service is going to come to an end whether I want it to or not in 2 years when I hit mandatory, and I'm going to be a civilian again. I'll be a proud veteran, but I'm back in the community, and I want to build bonds with the community. I don't want to keep it at arm's length. These are the people that I came from. These are the people that I love and care for, and we need to integrate with it. And then I think that we also need to make sure that the American people understand that being in the military is only one way to serve. There are many ways to serve the nation or your fellow man. But this is an important one. This is an essential one. And we need to recognize that. We need to appreciate that. And we need to make sure that the American military remains the melting pot that it has been, that it is right now. And like I said before, Ben, we work inside and outside the military to make sure that the tribalism that's cropping up all over our country doesn't also crop up inside the military.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something I've learned, as a civilian looking from the outside in, Charles. Honestly, it kind of surprised me initially, and you see it really, for example, when we talk about Memorial Day. And some veterans are saying, look, it's a very somber day. I don't like the fact that they're advertising for mattresses. I don't like the fact that folks are going out and having a barbecue and a hard time. And other veterans are saying, look, that's why I serve. So you have the choice to make that decision and, have a couple of beers, maybe just toast one to somebody that, isn't here to enjoy that with you. So you got a divergence of opinions all across on a lot of subjects. And this whole thank me for my service kind of thing, I'll be curious to see how that evolves.
Yeah, I think there's a limit to America's love and patience. And I don't want us to get close to that level, because we've all seen the opposite extreme, and I'm quite happy that the American military is so well respected and loved inside America. And I think vets need to do our part to make sure it stays that way.
Charles, thanks for coming on and being a regular guest and sharing your opinions with us. Please give my best to OPSEC violators 1 and 2.
Thank you so much, Ben. And maybe I'll have them on the show later on. So thanks always, a lot. And thank you for what you do for our community, Ben.
They're always welcome. And you too. Thanks you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. You can find this podcast and over 250 others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. You can find them on your favorite platforms. I mean, whether it's Spotify or Gmail or Apple, wherever they are, find us, share these stories. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.